Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You're listening to KILT and KILT HD2, a radio.com station.
Really, the first offseason I got to head into healthy without any restrictions. Previous offseason, our season was over and I was still rehabbing well into November. And then with my rest period, everything got started a little bit late for me. And then obviously COVID and that up and down till summer camp. So I really got to get a full offseason in. Was very diligent with my work. Feel like I'm in a great place. So I'm excited for the season.
Boy, Seth, that's Lance McCullers talking about the heading into this season, things feeling a little bit more normal and that he had a great offseason. Not just Lance, but really baseball players everywhere, and especially pitchers, are such creatures of habit. It's got to feel so much nicer for them knowing that, okay, we're heading in. This is going to be normal. You know, hopefully, you never know. The world can turn into a crazy place, as we've learned in the last year plus. But to know that, especially for a guy like Lance coming off of Tommy John, that you can get into a routine, you can get into a groove. Spring training is going to be 6 weeks, and we're going to go into a regular season. It's going to feel weird on game days because there's going to be either no fans or sparse fans. That whole experience will feel a little strange, but just in terms of how your body is taxed and how your body is worked. And especially, again, as a pitcher coming off of a reconstructive surgery like Lance McCullers was, that it's going to be normal. It's got to be feel really good for him, and he's a huge X factor for the Astros this year. They need Lance McCullers.
X factors for the Astros, Lance McCullers, Miles Straw, who's leading off.
Yep.
They haven't, you don't know who's going to actually lead off this year. After I feel like the entire city of Houston finally over the last couple of years accepted that it's okay to have George Springer as their leadoff. It only took a record number of leadoff home runs for everybody to start saying, like, okay, I kind of see the value in having a power hitter as your leadoff hitter.
And being the catalyst for a generational offense. You know, the whole thing, like George Springer is an issue. Like, this offense is doing things that they haven't seen offenses do in 20 years. You need to move Springer out of that leadoff spot. Huh? What?
Well, the hardest thing, I honestly, you got to a spot where, did you not expect the leadoff home run every time?
Yes.
Statistically, it makes no sense. Even like when somebody's really good at shooting three-pointers, it feels like they're going to make it every time, even though they're making it far fewer than even 50% of the
43%
time.
43% is amazing. Yeah.
So they're even so it's even way less than 50% of the time, and yet it feels like they're going to make it every time. Right. George Springer somehow... I started off every game. You know how much he helped TV ratings and all of that, I bet? Just because I used to speed home to try to get home in time for Astros games to start instead of the normal baseball of like, I'll get to it when I get to it.
Right.
Doesn't matter anyway. They'll be playing for 4 hours. Not having George Springer in the leadoff role is going to be an emotional experience for me. And whoever's there, I feel bad for him. I feel bad for him.
Shoes.
It's going to be a letdown. It's going to be, you're going to be an emotional letdown. Put the pressure on Altuve. Go full bore. Don't think that Altuve needs to be coddled or anything. Just get him out there and have him start cranking. Find the power that he had a couple years back and just start cranking out home runs the first pitch.
You know, here's the thing, Seth, as I think about this, like, okay, Springer was not at the top of the order because of his speed. You know what I mean? He didn't steal a bunch of bases or anything like that. And baseball, the stolen base is kind of falling out of favor. And I'm just trying to think, okay, maybe you put your best guy. Altuve would have been this guy back when he was winning batting titles. We don't know if he's still that guy. I still think he's a really good hitter. I'm thinking like, okay, who's your best, most professional hitter that just gets on base? You can count on him to get on base. Is it the craziest thing to think that you would bat Michael Brantley leadoff for this team? Is that wild? Especially when you got your when got your Don coming back as a presence in the middle of the order that Brantley was during the postseason last year.
I mean, the theory with Springer was power. I mean, that's the theory that a lot of teams are going with now, is that, okay, you get somebody with power up there and it gets the sphincter tight of the pitcher immediately.
Yeah.
And changes their whole strategy if they're thinking that they just got to basically if they got the chance of being down 1-0 right from the get-go, and if they do go down 1-0 right from the get-go, then all of a sudden their strategy changes. Maybe they're not going to panic, but it just changes their strategy. So, in a weird way, it almost feels like it'd be more against type to go with Brantley than
it definitely
based on the new thing. Based on the new thinking,
yeah.
where stick a power guy out there. Just stick your biggest, scariest guy out there.
Yeah, and Brantley's not that. I mean, he hits for some power, but he's just more of a. He's just more of a consistent, I'm going to make contact. It's going to be valuable contact. It's going to be, it's going to keep the bases moving and things like that. You know, and then the other part of it is whoever's batting leadoff, you know that you're going to see that hitter more than any other hitter during the course of a game. Brantley might be that guy. I don't know. I'm sure I'm going to get a bunch of people saying that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard on the text page, but
yeah.
People are saying the same thing about Springer 4 years ago.
Yeah, I don't shake my head at anything anybody suggests in baseball anymore, because somebody out there's got a theory on why you should do it, and it's not, you know, and why it makes sense. I guess Brian Abreu is another guy to keep an eye on, just because he didn't show up in awesome shape last year. I guess sometimes the guys that had maybe suffered the most last year, but the guys that like need the structure of working out with the team and all of that, because he was awesome in spring training, but then he came back in the summer overweight.
Yeah.
Right?
Not accountable.
So it took a while. Right, but it's usually not a consideration. I mean, this is like this in the NFL. Sometimes guys sometimes struggle to make that adjustment of, oh, I'm on my own January through April, I'm not going to eat at the training table or the team cafeteria or like that. I don't have dietitians around me all the time. And some guys kind of struggle with it. I think Abreu maybe was just that kind of guy that needs to be in the spring training environment and going and talking to the dietitian every day. He struggled with that last year. So now this year he'll be back into the same routine. He'll be fine. He'll be svelte. He'll be a damn sex symbol. I'm gonna ask somebody to check it out. I'm gonna have him flash his abs. Let's see if he's got abs on the Zoom call.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Washboard abs. Brian Abreu. Seth Payne said it. You heard it here first. Did you see our boss sent us the list of Astros current and former who are on Cameo? Did you see this list of guys here, Seth?
Yes, I did.
Boy, Lance McCullers is feeling himself on Cameo. $195 for a Lance McCullers Cameo. I feel like he would be really good, though.
I think he'd be really good, and I think it's also what's it worth to me.
Should we mention? Do you think there's people in the audience that don't know what Cameo is? Should I give them 15 seconds?
Yes.
Cameo is a website you can go to where there's a ton of celebrities on there, and you can pay them a fixed fee to record a video message for a loved one or a friend. Happy birthday! Congratulations on the wedding. Whatever the case may be, Lance McCullers charges $195.
$195, which I think that's probably the right price for him, because it's not like Lance wants to be doing this all day long. It's not like he's thinking like, hey, if I bucket down to $30, then I can make $195 if I just do six and one sixth of these things.
Yeah.
Six and one fifth of these things. So, yeah, I don't know. Anyway, I think that I the best deal on here is Blum. Blum's like $30.
$30.
I think Blum would put some thought into that. And then if you're taking your wife to a ball game for a present, or taking your kid to a ball game, to have Blum do the Cameo and then you show your kid the Cameo from Blum right at the beginning of the game, that'd be pretty cool.
That would be cool.
And Blum would be really good at it. Let's do this right now. Let's be an advertisement for Jeff Blum's Cameo. Listen, if you want to show a loved one that you care, and if you care about the Astros, like I know you do, just go ahead and get yourself a Jeff Blum Cameo. I mean, frankly, nothing. You can go out, you can get a card, you can give a kid some cash, or you can give what have you. Nothing says I love you like Jeff Blum's smiling, sometimes sweaty face on the phone of your loved one saying, hey, Seth loves you, and so do I. Jeff Blum, signing off.
$30. $30.
That's a good deal. That's a really good deal. Go pay Blummer $30 to do a Cameo for you. That is a hell of a deal. He'd probably sell you a package, ten for $275 or something.
Seems like he would be cagey like that. I'll tell you the one guy on here who's cameo fee is disproportionate to how good a player he was. Kenny Lofton is only $75. I know Kenny Lofton's been retired for a while. Kenny Lofton was one of the best center fielders in baseball for a long, long time. Played for those Indian teams and those Braves teams. $75 for Kenny Lofton is really good, especially when you consider that it's $100 for Tony Kemp. And I love Tony Kemp. Tony Kemp used to come on our show every week during the postseason back a couple years ago on the Triple Threat. He was awesome. He's a great dude. But $100 for Tony, and he'd probably do an awesome cameo. He would immerse himself in it. He is a really good guy. But $100 for Tony Kemp and $75 for Kenny Lofton, and the two of them are right next to each other on the page right here. That's wild.
I've thought about doing cameo before, but the thing for me that I've realized is that it would end up being way, way longer than the 1 minute that I would spend actually doing the video and sending it, because I would think about it. I would think about it for a good hour beforehand. I'd probably do like 10 takes of it until I was happy with it. And it just ends up like whatever my market value isn't worth it to me to how much time I would actually put into it.
I've had a couple people tell me, and these are people like associated with the Jim Rome show. They're like, you should go on there, and then Jim Rome callers would pay you whatever, $15 or $10 for a cameo, and you can do a smack off call about them. Like their friends can give you facts about them, and you can run smack. And exact same thing, Seth. I said, you don't realize, like, I actually spend time preparing for those calls. Those calls are like a homework assignment. So it would, like, it's not worth it for me for $10 or $15. And I got to be honest with you, if I start charging more than that, then it's going to be a real bruise to my ego when nobody wants me to do cameos for them. I know my place in the world right now.
But that's where you kind of just forget about it, right? You just sign up to do cameos and then you just let it ride.
As long as there's not a ticker that says how many people have reached out to me for cameos. You know what I mean? As long as they don't see that I've only had 2 people in 6 months reach out for a cameo, then I'm cool, you know?
Oh, do people have stats on that?
I don't know. If they do, then I'm not going to do it. But if they don't, then you're kind of talking me into it a little bit right now.
I'll tell you who's a little too full of himself, frankly. Hunter Pence, $250. Like, that better come with some value-added item, like a gift certificate at your coffee shop that you own there or something.
Or a picture of him running or throwing or doing anything athletic.
Doing something, kind of goofy or something. I bet he would. I think Hunter Pence would actually put some work into it.
Yeah.
And he does have that quirky personality where he might be more people might want a cameo from Hunter Pence than they actually want from some boring Hall of Famer.
Yes, yes. He. You're right. He's in that kind of meaty part of the curve.
Also, dirty move here, cameo. Dirty move listing J.D. Martinez as one of the former Astros that you can have do a cameo for you.
It is factual.
Other than that, I feel like Jim Crane might have actually gotten off from that lawsuit that Jeff Luhnow. Remember, Jeff Luhnow was trying to sue Crane for saying he was wrongfully let go. I wonder if Jim Crane brought up the whole J.D. Martinez fiasco. He said, no. We fired him for a bunch of stuff, one of which was J.D. Martinez.
Including cause, yes, for J.D. Martinez. By the way, the ballsiest person on here is not Hunter Pence. It's Alex DeGotti looking for $40. I don't even know who that is. You're looking for $40. You're charging more than Blum, DeGotti? Come on, DeGotti. Who is Alex DeGotti? I got to look him up. Am I supposed to know who he is? Help me out, Astro fans. 713-572-4610. All right, we continue. Mock drafters are starting to build in Deshaun Watson trades into their mock drafts. The reality is upon us. That's next. All right, so Seth, they are starting to mix in Deshaun Watson trades into some of these mock drafts here. Do you enjoy clicking on mock drafts? I do. I find them to be quite addictive. That's why I don't enjoy years where the Texans don't pick or the first or second round. I feel like a kid who's left out of a dodgeball game at recess. Like I've been put in detention or something like that.
It's been fun just to be included here. I don't get too much into the mock drafts like a lot of people do, just because there's part of me just as a player that knows how much of the hype around rookies, it gets annoying because they come into camp and they suck, and you get tired of seeing that. So I was always very much of like, okay, let's see how good they are, and this kid's got some promise or what have you. So I still have that part of me a little. And then you know what, that some of that too is, Sean, like you've always got a little bit of a chip on your shoulder if you weren't a high draft pick, that you look at a lot of these first rounders, half of whom are going to suck, and it bothers you.
So I'm looking at the mock draft here, CBSSports.com, and they are starting to mix in Deshaun Watson trades. They've got a trade with the Miami Dolphins here, Seth, for the third overall pick. All right. The deal is this. The Texans trade Deshaun Watson to the Dolphins. Tell me what you think of this deal. For the third overall pick, the Dolphins' second round pick, their first and second round picks next year.
Okay.
And Tua.
Mm-hmm.
With the third.
So they're basically getting, so they're getting two firsts and 2 seconds?
Yes.
Okay. Yes, which one of which is the third overall pick this year. You know what I don't like about that draft is I would say that basically you're giving me Tua as a throw in there, because what am I going to do? Not use that number three overall pick on a quarterback?
Well, CBSSports.com says that you would do exactly that. Not use it on a quarterback. They have the Texans with the third pick in the 2021 NFL draft. The Texans select Ja'Marr Chase, wide receiver, LSU. Good player.
Boy, that'd be fun. It would be good for Tua to have Ja'Marr Chase.
Yeah.
I wonder what Caserio thought of Tunga. Tunga. Tua Tagovailoa. I shortened Tunga. I never want to say the Tunga part because yeah. it doesn't feel right. So right. Somehow, yeah, I'm going to shorten it to Tunga. I wonder how Caserio felt about Tunga, or as he probably called him, the quarterback.
Yeah.
And how is it if Caserio, is Caserio going to go off of Tua's draft classification, or is he going to go off of the quarterback's performance in his limited amount of time his rookie year, in which case in which he was benched a couple of times in the middle of games? I'm guessing Caserio is probably going to judge Tua more based on his pre-draft work that he did on him.
I would agree with that. Here's what I hate about this trade is, and it's not the Tua part, believe it or not. I know I'm a card-carrying anti-Tua person. It's the kick in the junk that it would be to take your own pick back in the deal. That third overall pick is the Texans' pick originally from the Laramie Tunsil trade. There's just something that feels embarrassing about taking back your own pick in a deal that involves the most important player in the history of your franchise.
Yeah, and I guess that's where you need to be in Jack Easterby hyperdrive, right? And say that, hey, I had nothing to do with that little old pick. That was all the work of that evildoer Bill O'Brien. Oh, Lord, wasn't it great the way I got him run up out of here? So that oh, there's many a day that I'd come in and I would just think to myself, we're going to have a pleasant old day. And I'd be minding my P's and Q's. I'd have with my picnic lunch that I planned on going out and having with a few of the fellas at lunchtime. And Bill O'Brien would come into my office and he would grab my picnic basket and he would smash it underfoot. He would. And he would say, Jack Easterby, what are you doing to me here? I got the press aligned against me. And I said, Bill, Mr. O'Brien, sir. He used to make me call him Mr. O'Brien, sir. Not just Mr. O'Brien, but Mr. O'Brien, sir. And I'll say, Mr. O'Brien, sir, I promise you I'm trying to do right by you and the Lord and Mr. McNair and every McNair that came before him. But you surely do make it hard sometimes. And I say, I plead with you, sir. I plead with you, Mr. O'Brien, sir. Do not trade away the angelic DeAndre Hopkins. Oh, Lord, do I love him so. But he did. He made me do it. He made me do it. He made me call. And then he said, hey, look, I'm going to have you negotiate this contract with Deshaun Watson. And what I want you to do is I want you to give him a no-trade clause. And I said, but Mr. O'Brien, sir, are you sure? Are you sure we should give a non-Super Bowl winning quarterback a no-trade clause when none others have it? And he said, yes, I will. And if you don't, you know what I will do? This is what Mr. Bill O'Brien sort of said. He said, I'm gonna go make donations to the Church of Satan in your name. I will do it. And that's what he did. So I was all under duress. So I bear no responsibility for that Miami Dolphins trade is what I'm trying to tell you.
Okay.
If your output exceeds your input, then your upkeep will be your downfall.
That's about 45
that's
seconds
right
too
there.
Long.
I laugh at that all the time.
45 seconds too long on the Jack Easterby, Southern Belle of Easterby. Yeah.
No, it was not.
So Jack Easterby needs to go ahead and distance himself from that trade somehow, right? Because he was, remember, when the when the Texans went to the playoffs, Jack Easterby was all about that roster reconstruction. It was him and Bill O'Brien hand in hand. As soon as Bill O'Brien got fired, it's like, whoa, no. He went all Alfred E. Newman on him.
Yeah.
So that's going to be hard. I'll tell you the other hard thing, too, is that according to Matt Miller, the NFL draft bro, he says that Nick Caserio loved Tua Tagovailoa.
I thought I'd seen that somewhere, and you put that in the rundown one day like a month ago or something. That's where I saw it, yeah.
No, and I know a lot of people have issues with Matt Miller's draft appraisals or assessments or what have you, but this is him actually reporting on something, saying that Nick Caserio, and he said in all caps, loved Tua coming out, didn't have a shot at him with the Patriots, so he was thinking that he had a really good, that he might be very interested in Tua right now. The part, the double thing, Sean, would be if this doesn't work out, then not only did you trade Deshaun Watson for Laremy Tunsil, basically, but if you take Tua in that pick and you don't draft a quarterback with that third overall pick, and then Justin Fields or Zach Wilson ends up being way better than Tua, then that's a double kick. That's a kick to both the left and the right testicle there. Yeah.
Brutal. Absolutely brutal. Someone is asking here, is Brock Osweiler on Cameo? We just got done talking about Cameo in the previous segment because the Astros have a bunch of current and former players on Cameo. Actually, Brock Osweiler is on Cameo.
What's up, everybody? Brock Osweiler here, new to the Cameo family. Anything you guys want, birthday wishes, anniversaries, special occasions, fantasy football, you name it, I'm here for you. Looking forward to getting to know you. Cheers.
I love him so much.
Or standing under a sprinkler?
There was like a fountain behind him or something. He lives the life now, man. He's sitting on a big pile of cash doing nothing but playing golf and playing with his kids every day.
Wasn't he doing that article we read? Wasn't he like in the morning he would take some phone calls from some hedge fund he was involved with or something?
Yeah, he does like an hour's worth of phone calls, plays with his kid, and then goes plays 18 in the afternoon.
Now, big old lanky fella.
I can't find how much it is for him. And what's weird is he's no longer listed on the page with former Broncos. He's listed as a Bronco on here, but I can't find him on this page anywhere. I want to find out how much he is, because how great would it be to get Brock to do a cameo with a shout out to Sports Radio 610?
There's no one who's going to study that tape harder.
Yeah.
I would imagine that Osweiler stopped doing cameos when 90% of the cameo requests were, hey, Brock, I'll pay you $40. Just tell us how much you sucked, or just tell us how much you screwed over the Texans, or just tell us. I think he was getting a lot of ironic requests for cameos, I would imagine. So he probably just, for his mental health, and since it's not like he needs the cash or anything, he probably just said, no, sayonara on that.
Shut it down. How much would you pay?
I wonder if he actually, it's not like he was a great college quarterback or anything, but I wonder if he would one day go into commentating.
If there is a God, if Brock Osweiler gets into commentary, I'm watching every Brock Osweiler game. I don't care if it's an FCS game between two schools from the middle of nowhere. I am watching a game with Brock Osweiler.
The thing about that interception,
it has a story.
Let me tell you a story about this interception. Hey, Brock, how do you like broadcasting? I love it. Because every interception has a story to tell. So I specifically request the worst quarterback matchups of the week because I want to tell stories about interceptions. That would be a good idea for a nice little internet show. Brock Osweiler tells stories about interceptions.
Oh.
You could just do little clips, you know? Just him breaking down film as an analyst, breaking down nothing but interceptions. He could break down, like, he could do the worst interceptions of the week, and he could tell a story about those interceptions.
Seth, it could be a podcast. I've already got a name for it. The Brock Osweiler Pick Cast, where he breaks down all of his picks.
Yes.
But
not just his picks. No, I'm saying, like, turn it into a semi-serious thing, though, too. Yeah, just some of the worst interceptions.
Screw the serious. I just need to laugh at Brock for a long, long time.
The worst thing about him doing college games, though, is that he would say, well, if you look at this team and where they're ranked within the National Collegiate Athletic Association. It would take so long. What'd you do this spring? I actually went to the championship tournament of the National Collegiate Athletic Association men's basketball teams.
Seth, I was mid-sipping a drink, and Seth dropped it. I almost spit it all over all the technology in here.
There's my other internet show. Brock Osweiler actually speaking out every acronym that nobody ever uses.
I'm here for that.
Hey, what's your favorite tourist attraction in Houston? The National Aeronautical and Space Association.
That would be the cameo I would send him. Brock, here are 10 acronyms. I just need you to read the full name and then record it and send it to me. Here's your $100.
There'd be nothing worse than Brock Osweiler telling the story of a scuba incident where every single time I strapped on my self-contained underwater breathing apparatus. And, you know, a lot of times when you go self-contained underwater breathing apparatusing, you need to do a lot of training beforehand. You have to go see a self-contained underwater breathing apparatus instructor, and they're not always the best self-contained underwater breathing apparatus instructors. I love that movie. What's the movie with that character, self-contained underwater breathing apparatus Steve? That's a funny movie right there. That's funny stuff right there.
All right. How much will J.J. Watt command? And two sleepers to land J.J. Watt. Are we believing this? Next.
Why, Brock? Why?
Really got some pop on your ball tonight.
Yeah, the text message. Got a lot of pop on your ball this morning, Seth. Nice work. So I was listening on my way in yesterday. I was listening to the Spot Rack podcast. And J.J. Watt was the topic. Where would J.J. Watt go? What could he command? What's the market going to be like for J.J. Watt? Who are some sleepers for J.J. Watt? And so I came away with a few bullet points from listening to this. It was good. It was informative. So, Seth, I want to see if we are buying these assessments of the J.J. Watt market. In fact, Ben, do you got a little music we can go underneath here just for a minute? All right. The first one that they said is that they think J.J. Watt will command around $12 million per year on a short-term deal. Are you buying $12 million? $12 million per year is the market for J.J. Watt.
I think that might be it. I think that probably it's going to depend on maybe whether he takes a little bit of a discount to go to the team that he likes most and best. And he's almost like a unique house on the market, Sean. It's hard to figure out the value because he's gonna appeal to different teams for different reasons. I think there's some teams out there that are going to really care about the veteran leadership aspect of it, that part of it. I think there are other teams that just flat out want a guy that can still wreak havoc as a defensive lineman and all different levels of those two factors. And then what is their salary cap situation? So, like, the Packers don't have an awesome salary cap situation, but I think they would really want J.J. Watt for a lot of reasons. I mean, the Packers feel like the team that's most like maybe where the Astros were in 2016, where, boy, there's just something. They need something to get them over the top. And maybe that something isn't necessarily somebody who's just an awesome player, but somebody who's a veteran player that has leadership ability and can kind of and just can just be that extra little oomph. And J.J. feels like that kind of player for the Green Bay Packers because they're right there. They're right there. They're just pressing up against some kind of glass ceiling, and maybe J.J. is one of the things that can help push them through that.
They might make the most sense even if J.J. weren't from the state of Wisconsin. Everybody likes to,
right.
Look at the Packers as some sort of fairy tale story. But put that aside. Like, they might check the most boxes for J.J. Watt even if he weren't from Wisconsin, and then you add that in, and it's just a really cool story. His parents could drive up and watch him play like it's high school all over again.
You're right. See, I think the two favorites in this, a lot of it has been driven by those narratives of what a nice story it is.
Yeah.
There's that for the Packers that you just mentioned. And with the Steelers, it's, oh, his brothers play there, right? Yeah. So he's got to go want to play with his brothers. Sure. Except that's a nice thing, but it doesn't override everything else, including the fact that the Steelers right now have no idea who their quarterback is going to be next year. Ben Roethlisberger might himself not know. You know, he said he 100% wants to come back, and he's claimed that money doesn't matter. But who knows what that means when the rubber hits the road. He's got a $15 million signing or roster bonus coming up in a few weeks that the Steelers are going to have to make a decision about something before that, whether Roethlisberger takes a pay cut or they move on. But J.J. might want to make his decision before instead of waiting on Roethlisberger.
So the second thing that they said on this podcast, the Spot Rack podcast that I listened to about the J.J. Watt market, was that Green Bay does make sense, but the Buffalo Bills are the favorite to land J.J. Watt. Do you believe that the Buffalo Bills should be the favorite to land J.J. Watt, Seth?
They're saying that the Bills are the favorite. How are they basing that off of their opinion? Or
these aren't reporters. These are guys who nerd out on contracts and things like that. They believe that Buffalo should be the favorite for J.J. Watt.
I think that Buffalo makes a lot of sense because, for one, he would have other pass rushers next to him, Jerry Hughes and whatnot, that'll take some of the heat off of him.
Ed Oliver's
shown flashes, but Ed Oliver's been very inconsistent. I think hopefully year three is when it really comes together for him. And he did some good things in the playoffs.
Yeah.
There's that. And then there's just the overall atmosphere and vibe, I think, of Sean McDermott. And I've told you this before, and I think I can sense people almost as I'm talking about this, like it's some silly notion or just some take that's just for radio and nothing else. I really do think that JJ cares a lot about the relationship between a team and the fans. And I'm not just talking about his personal relationship. He's mentioned multiple times and spoken pretty genuinely about how great it was back in 2011 and 2012 when it just felt like there was a special energy in the city for the team, and that he felt like the team, you know, the team had guys like Connor Barwin and Sean Cody and these other guys that just really enjoyed just playing the game of football. I think Buffalo might be the closest to that same experience right now. I mean, if you look at Bills Mafia and the way that Bills fans feel about their players, I could see JJ looking at that and kind of feeling like, yeah, that was that magical feeling I had back when I was young in the league that I want to recapture and I want to get again. And that's not going to be the only factor, but I do think just because JJ has spoken about that publicly a few times, I think that is going to be a factor. It's just what's the whole feel of the place? What's the environment like? I want some of that in my life.
All right, we're on to number three from the Spot Rack podcast, the J.J. Watt observations, assessments, opinions that they had. We're seeing if we agree with these on the J.J. Watt scenarios. They list as sleepers for J.J. Watt, Seth, the Dallas Cowboys and the Indianapolis Colts as sleepers for J.J. Watt. Do you think that the Colts and the Cowboys are sleepers to get J.J. Watt?
No.
And I don't either.
Know. For one, I don't think, I mean, for, there are two reasons there, and I'm not putting pressure on any player not to go within the division, but I do think that, again, I think with JJ, I think some of these things matter to him more than it might matter to the average person. I mean, if anybody wonders, one of the criticisms of JJ over the years is that it's almost like he cares about the fans too much, right? I mean, he's been very, if you want to be cynical about it, you look at it and you might say that he's pandering to the fans or what have you. I think it's actually a much more genuine relationship that he wants to have with the fans. And like, because of that, I think going to the Colts or going to the Cowboys to a lesser degree, because they're not an intra-division rivalry, I think it's less likely, unless those teams really blow him out of the water with some kind of display of commitment to it.
By that I mean,
are they going to pay him a boatload of money?
Well, that it would have to be with those. The Dallas one is more driven from the Dallas end than it is the JJ end. Anytime I hear somebody bring up Dallas for JJ Watt, and you look for a reason why, they go, well, you know, Jerry Jones is going to want to be in on this. You know, it's going to be a big story, so Jerry Jones is always going to want to be in on it. And yeah, maybe that's the case, and maybe he makes an offer. I don't know how J.J. Watt can look at the Cowboys and really look at Carson Wentz and say, this is my great chance at winning a Super Bowl or even getting to a Super Bowl in either of those cases.
Yeah, I think that there's that. I do think that the culture of the defense there would probably appeal to him.
In Indianapolis.
Totally. I mean, they play their asses off there. I mean, they really, they take a lot of pride in rallying to the ball. The linebacker there that's always upset because he's not
Darius Leonard.
Attention. Yeah, Darius Leonard, who's it gets a little annoying. He's constantly believing that he's being underestimated and whatnot, despite people gushing about him all the time. It's just, it's always, oh, I'm not getting enough credit. I'm not getting what? Okay, fine. You play your ass off. I like that. I appreciate
he's
that.
He's a second round pick.
Yeah,
he's undrafted.
Yeah. I think that JJ would really like that atmosphere. I just don't know if between Carson Wentz and the fact that it's the Colts, I don't know if that appeals to him to go there. But, well, I mean, all of this is subject to change depending on how many actual and genuine offers he gets. And the thing about the money is a lot of people have asked whether he would take a minimum to go play for a contender or what have you. First of all, I don't think he would have to do that to go to a contender. Second, the one thing about the money is the money shows commitment. It shows that that team wants you to start, wants you to play. They're not just taking a flyer on you and that maybe next year they draft a first round and you're out on your ass. I don't think JJ really wants to be a guy like Ndamukong Suh who's just becomes a mercenary in his last 2 years. I think he wants to stick with one team. And money is a way that a team shows that there's a good chance of that happening.
Last one, JJ Watt's deal will be instructive. Maybe not market setting, but somewhat instructive on how the edge rusher market shapes up in free agency. It's a pretty robust edge rusher market in free agency.
I don't know how much teams are going to look at him as a pure edge rusher. In this last year, he took more snaps as a pure edge rusher than he ever had in his entire career. Part of that's because the outside linebackers were so bad that sometimes in base packages, JJ was actually playing outside linebacker. I don't think it's going to be instructive about edge rushers necessarily. I think that teams right now are going to look at JJ more as a classic 3-4 defensive end, or maybe he's a 4-3 defensive end that moves down inside on third down, but that's where he's probably going to be his best and his most effective is he gets to play inside a little bit more. It's just this year with the Texans, they had such extreme needs outside that he had to go out there.
Payne and Pendergast with you on a Friday. I'm in a Cameo wormhole now, Seth. I'm on the Texans page.
Oh, yeah, you got to be careful about that. I've done that before on air, and it's a bad place to be. There's something about going to that Cameo website.
Oh, man, yeah.
Oh, I thought that was a Cameo.
No. I'm just looking. I'm totally intrigued by who's on Cameo and how much they charge. You know who's on Cameo? Mark Vandermeer is on Cameo. Now, Mark Vandermeer should be on Cameo. He's a play-by-play guy. He's got catchphrases.
I pulled that out right away.
Play that again.
I pulled that out right away.
Yeah, see?
Mm-hmm. He could do that, something like that. I bet he's charging
$50? $45.
Okay.
Let me tell you this right now. I feel bad now seeing that. Mark Vandermeer introduced our wedding party at my wedding. I feel like I should have duked him $45 for that now. If he's charging $45 for Cameo videos.
Well, but there he was in person. He wasn't doing that via Zoom or anything. I think maybe it should have been even a little. That was his
wedding
thanks
present. For making me feel worse. So I should have charged. I should be paying him $345.
Did he actually give you a wedding present or was that his present? He just he dropped the mic at the end and said, "You're welcome."
No, I would have accepted that as a wedding present, to be honest with you. Mark, that's a cool thing. The Texans play-by-play guy is doing the...
That feels a little bit like the people who draw you paintings for a present. You're like, oh, great. I've got an inadequate painting that I can put up on my wall somewhere now that I'll feel obligated to put up on my wall. I don't know.
I'm not saying he offered that. I'm saying I would accept that. That would have been fine with me. So $45 for Vandy.
Okay, let's see. Vandy, what's more valid? Vandy announcing your wedding as a wedding present? So Vandy announcing your wedding party, if he called that your wedding present, or Jim Nantz acting like it's an awesome thing to get Jim Nantz's tie as an award?
Vandy in a landslide.
Yeah, Vandy's actually doing something. That tie thing's so weird. I get so angry every time I see it. When he was presenting the Super Bowl trophy, I was just cringing because I thought he was going to try to pull that tie thing off with the NFL MVP or something.
Keon Crossan. How much would you pay for a Keon Crossan cameo? I'm going to tell you right now, a Keon Crossan cameo, the reason I'm bringing it up, he's got a lot of personality. I told you that during training camp. He was always coming up and grabbing my notebook and looking at my notes and pointing at things and stuff.
Yeah.
How much
would you? He's very animated.
He's very animated.
Say,
he'd be good.
But not a big name or anything.
Yeah.
So I would say $35.
$100 for Keon Crossan. $100. Yeah.
I don't criticize any of these because even if the price is too high, that person just might not want to do a lot of cameos. Yeah. Like, he doesn't want to take time out of his day unless it's for $100. So it makes sense.
How much for a Wade Phillips cameo? Now, Wade Phillips, that would be awesome.
I pay $150 for a Wade Phillips.
He's only
cameo.
Charging $100, Seth.
Oh, really?
Only
okay.
charging $100. Yeah, he's only charging $100.
Wade Phillips probably give you something a little bit witty, too. That'd be nice. Probably tease your kids for you if you want.
Okay, two questions here. One, how much would you pay for a DeAndre Hopkins cameo? I've got it in front of me here. And two,
well,
what would
I
you have?
$50. I paid $50 for a DeAndre Hopkins t-shirt, so there's that.
You did.
And I thought maybe, well, this better be the softest cotton that ever was.
And?
Nope.
Burlap.
Oh, my nipples were bleeding within minutes.
All right, so how much would you pay for a cameo, and what would you have him say about Jack Easterby?
What could I have him say about Jack Easterby? He wouldn't say anything explicitly,
no.
Right? We'd have to have him to say it on the sly somehow.
Yeah. How much would you pay?
For DeAndre, I bet he's 150. I wouldn't pay 150, but I bet he's 150.
You're so far off. It's like really? you're going to Morton's and trying to pay $15 for like a barroom steak night. No, $400 for DeAndre Hopkins.
$400
bones, baby. Yeah,
no way.
He's a big star.
Who are the most expensive people on there?
For the Texans page?
No, DeAndre for anybody. Hopkins. Just for anybody.
Oh, I don't know.
Like, what's the most you can pay for a cameo?
I don't know. I'll find out. I bet I can Google it and find out. You know who makes a ton of money doing cameo? Kevin from The Office. His name is Brian Baumgartner, I think is his name. You know how much he makes?
I'm already laughing. I'm not even. Right? Yeah, I don't even need to see one.
You know how much he makes doing cameo?
I bet $1,000.
No. He may charge
$1,000. Oh, how much does he make
per
year?
Per year. How much did he take home in a 1099 from Cameo last year?
I bet he made over $100,000.
$2 million.
What?
$2
million. Shut up.
$2 million.
See how much? Okay, let's do the math on that. How many is he? How much does he charge?
I'll go.
$2 million.
We got to go to break. We'll do the math.
Well, I know guys on the Howard Stern show, like some of the supporting characters and whatnot. Those guys make good money on Cameo.
Yeah.
My next job move is to glom on to some hyper successful thing where I'm just some fringe character and do good cameos.
Take me
$2
with
million
you.
Dollars?
$2 million
on Cameo?
$2 million on
good
Cameo.
Good for Kevin.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, he seems like
that's
a good
one
guy.
Of the, like, I'm so happy for him. Yeah. That's awesome.
Urban Meyer said that the Jags, quote, can't miss on this, talking about the quarterback situation in Jacksonville. Is he referring to Trevor Lawrence? Or could he have a certain Houston Texan in mind? We will dissect the audio next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.